I'd like to say good morning to everyone. As we heard that Gail is, he's in Tennessee and he's serving brethren there, and which gives me an opportunity to preach a lesson here this morning. And it's such a great thing that we have so many men that are capable of doing this, and it's just a blessing. Because the last congregation that I was a part of, it wasn't that case. Actually, it was for the most part only two men which were able to bring forth the Lord's word and a lesson. And so, you know, it's just glory to God as far as that. We have men who love God and who are willing to put themselves out of servants to God's people. And I'm thankful that not only that I was given this opportunity by Gail, but by you. Because if you would not want me here, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be able to stand before you. So I thank you for that, that I'm able to do this. And I want to be of service to my God as well, I know, as you do. And in that, hopefully that God then will be glorified by what we bring forth, and that we may be able to share something that would enlighten and to help us all in serving our God. And so I wanted to begin this morning in the John chapter 18, where the scripture reading was, where we see Pilate, which was the governor of Judea. And Jesus now has, he's been charged and he's been brought to Pilate to be judged, because the people wanted him dead. And they realized they didn't have the power to do that under Roman law that was dictating what they could or could not do at that time. So they brought him to Pilate for that purpose. And Pilate realized that it was just out of envy that they had brought him. He is questioning him concerning what the charge that they had made, him being a king of the Jews. And of course, as far as that was a very fearful thing, as far as, you know, if someone charged you with being a king, and you could only be a king unless Caesar said that you could be. And so that had not been the case, and so he was brought before Pilate. And Pilate asked him the questions, are you the king of the Jews? And so the Lord asked him, are you speaking of this yourself, or did others tell you this concerning me? And that was a good question, because it should have caused Pilate to give thought to what it is that he was actually asking. he should have given some consideration as far as, but I think that his mind was just being dismissive of the Jews and their culture, their religion. And so he says, you know, am I a Jew? No. They brought you to me to be judged. And so the Lord kind of relieves him of his concern about him being a king of the Jews, but he lets him know that, look, my kingdom is not of this world. Because if it was, then my servants would have fought and kept me from the Jews. And so there's no threat to Rome at all. No threat that he's going to raise up and try to raise up a people and kick them out of Judea, start any type of insurrection against the governance of Rome. No, my kingdom is not of this world. And that's the thing as far as that it's so good for us to keep in remembrance that, you know, it's not of this for our kingdom. It's not of this world. Yet we are part of the world, and so we do take part in it to some degree, but we got to recognize as far as that our king is Christ, and he is the one who governs us. He governs our life and has given us his law whereby it might be governed, and so we have to continue in that and not to be deceived and be drawn away by the world. And so Pilate, when the Lord had said that, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not from here. And so you are a king then. Yes, you rightly said that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He came in the world to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears his voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said that, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him. No fault. He's not a threat to me or to Rome. No fault at all. But Pilate, you know, just the way he put a question there, but was it really a question? Because he's so very dismissive. What is truth? And then he walked out. He seemed to have really no concern for truth. He had got the truth that he wanted. The truth was that Jesus wasn't a threat. And so he's innocent. There's no fault. There's no reason for me to put him to death. But here it is, governor of this one particular province, and he's standing with the King of Kings. He's standing with the greatest man who ever lived, about to do the greatest deed that has ever been done. And he just says, "What is truth?" And he walks out. I don't know how much he may have been aware of the Jewish religion and what was heard of about the Messiah coming and what that meant. It may not have been, but you think, as far as you know, someone telling you that my kingdom is not of this world, you'd want to know more about it. What are you talking about? What do you mean by that? You know, and that you've come, you know, to bear witness to the truth. What is the truth? And then to wait to give ear to what that is. But he just dismissed it. And what I want to us to give thought to is that let us not ever be dismissive of truth. That we want to know what it is, and it's been given to us here within God's word. This is where we find it. And everything that we do, we want it to be according to truth. Because we've been given this word, it tells us over in 1 Timothy 3:15, as Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "I've written these things so that you might know how you ought to behave in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of truth." And so here we find all the principles of truth within the word of God. We are members of this kingdom, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. We have a king who is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Sent by God, who is the truth. We've witnessed this morning the truth of the love of God. When we partook of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die on our behalf so that we can be saved. That's the truth. And we continue to bear witness to that. And everyone, because we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are of the truth. But be careful of those who do not hear the voice, his voice, and they claim to tell us truth. Because the world that we live in has become so unprincipled, so wicked and so evil, and it should make us draw nearer and closer and to exalt for ourselves and for others the truth of this kingdom of God that has come. The truth is very important. Very important. The truth is very, very valuable. You know, I get these emails and these tips. Buy this stock because it's going to really shoot up. Buy this ETF. You know, you should invest in this this warrant. This is a new thing. Everybody didn't know about this, but this is the way the billionaires, this is the way they're making their money from these warrants. Buy this cryptocurrency because, you know, the value is going to shoot up. Buy into this the metaverse because that's the new thing that's going to take over the internet. And all these things, all these tips. But the best one that we get is in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and don't sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. That's the most valuable, the truth. Now, those things are where it is they give me these tips, but they have to give the the legalese and say, you know, if you might lose everything that you put into this. But if you put your life into the truth, you have everything to gain and no loss. Buy the truth and don't sell it. You know, when crypto first came out, you know, and it's talking about this Bitcoin and, you know, people buying it. Yeah, I wish I would have. but to me, it just didn't look like any. It didn't look like truth to me. I couldn't tell. You know, it just looked like something as far as, you know, digital. I'm used to holding it in my hand. And then, you know, I started with my, just now I just about pay everything with my phone. If I go into the grocery store, I use my phone. And people still, I've been doing it for about 3 years, and people, cashiers say, oh, I didn't know you could do that. But there may come a time when it is, that's the only way that we will be able to pay. but yeah, so we look to the truth, and that's the best thing. That's what we're going to buy it and sell it not. Because I could tell someone in 1 John, we want to, as we know the truth about God, God knows the truth about us. But sometimes we may not be aware of the truth about ourselves. And that's what we really want to look to. We want to be those that are true to our God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18 to 20, it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And so we want to know the truth about ourselves, and to when it is that we speak and when we do, that it's from the heart, that's according to the truth, and that there's nothing deceitful in us. We have examples of how it is as far as that, how that deceit can live within an individual. Sometimes for years. Over in the book of Genesis in chapter 42, you know, where we've been studying about Joseph. And we see the account where it is that Joseph's brother, they come for food. And when Joseph recognizes them in Genesis in chapter 42, and he charges them with being spies. And you've come to see the nakedness of the land. You come to spy things out. You come to see, you know, how it is as far as that you can take advantage of us here. But they said in verse 11, we are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. You know, we're not some men that have gotten together and to come and we're trying to do that. We're all one man's sons. And we are honest men. The King James Version said we're true men. Were they? Well, they weren't spies. They didn't come to spy out the land. And so in that was, yeah, they were true in that. But was there any dishonesty there with them? They kept saying, we're honest. He kept saying, no, you're spies. Then he says, you know, I'm going to keep you here until you bring your youngest brother you're talking about. I'm gonna keep you. Then he changes his mind and said, I'm going to keep one of you until you bring your youngest. In verse 21, then they said one to another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. For over 20 years, they had kept this dishonest lie that they had told their father that Joseph had been killed by an animal. But they're able to say that we're honest, we're true men. And yeah, that's the way that they thought of themselves. Because they had taken this other thing and hidden it, you know, from their father. I can remember something that I hid from my grandfather, because when I was a young man, I loved to hunt. We hunted and we put food on the table by hunting, and I used to love dove hunting, and especially the first day of the season, and you dare not go any time other than that because it was a $500 fine if you were caught one out of season. But yeah, I loved dove hunting. Some of you probably say, "Oh, you used to shoot the little peace birds. I'll tell you what, they were delicious. Very tasty. And there was some sport to it because you just want to kill them just to kill them, but you're thinking, as far as that's another one in the pot. And on the first day, you know, the young birds, they've never been shot at. And so they fly right to you, and they're not afraid. And you can take them out. You can get a good mess of them. But after that, you know, later on into the season, they're hard to take because they recognize now these people are shooting at us, and they got these guns. We know why they're here. And so they fly high, and they can maneuver like something you wouldn't think. And so they're hard to take. And I remember me and my grandfather and this other gentleman, it was his land, and he had us hunting, and it was a windy that day, and I wasn't doing so good. Those birds were really flying. You know, we were actually in the peanut field where they were coming to eat. So when they would come, and we could shoot them, but they come in, and they recognize that these guys are here to shoot us. And so they wouldn't come right at you. They come on the other part of the field, or they fly where they would be real high. And when we got done, we got together, and it's like, how many did you get? And this gentleman, he had gotten six. And I had done a lot of shooting. So my pride, I didn't want him to know that he had got so many more than me, because I only had gotten two. And my grandfather hadn't gotten two, but I said I got three. And when I got home, and my grandfather, he's looking in the, you know, you get this jacket, you put your birds in, so he's taking the birds out, and he says, there's only two. He says, where's your other one? And I'm saying, I must have lost, must have dropped out somewhere. He's got them laying there, and he's looking at me, it's like he's giving me opportunity, like he knows, and he's giving me the opportunity to come clean, and my pride just wouldn't let me do it. And I regret that to this day, because my grandfather died without me clearing that up with him. And I regret it to this day. And so these men, they've told this lie about their brother, about the son that this man loved, that he died, and they're holding him. And so it just goes to show us, for us, you know, how that we can think that we're true, but is there anything there that we're just not being honest with ourselves or with someone else about? Because if so, then we're not true. We're not holding the truth. We're not fully in Christ like we should be if it is that we are holding something that in us that's not true. And so we have to always endeavor to make sure, as far as that, because we want to live with God and have him to reveal truth to us, and he will reveal truth about anything that we desire. We have the principles of truth here within his word, and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that connection can be made, and we can be shown what is true and right, so that we can live morally and right and honestly and to truly be good. And so he says in Psalms 51:6, he desires truth in the inward part. And in the end, what he would make us to know wisdom and understanding. And so in our very inward part, is there truth there in everything? And that's not to say, oh, do we sin? We sin. But woe to those that hide sin. You know, we're not to hide it. Not to have pride and think, as well, I should have been good, but I'm not really good, so I'm going to hide this thing that is there within me. No, we have to bring it out and to acknowledge with our God that we've sinned and we've fallen short. And he tells us he's faithful and just to forgive us. So there's no reason to have anything hidden. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. This is love toward us. He's willing to forgive us. And so we are to always seek that and to be clear with God. Because we look, and I was talking to an individual the other day, and as far as he was saying, man, when we look at that way things are going, this could be the time when Christ could be coming. And I said, it's not like it's never been that way before with people, that they thought, man, the way things are going, this could be the end. Christ could be coming at any time. But we look at it, and so whether, you know, but no matter what's going on, we just seek to be ready and to be true and to be right. And the things that we see are going on around us, they're hard to sometimes understand, and they can affect us, and if we're not careful, they can depress us. It can cause us to be fearful and afraid. And when we are fearful and afraid, we may not do what's right before God. We have to be a people who are courageous and who stand firm in the pillar and ground of truth. We want to live always according to truth. There was a time in the kingdom of Israel when, well, many times we can see they weren't living according to truth. They continued to stray away from God. And this is one of these times over in 1 Kings in chapter 18. This is at the time of Elijah, the time of Ahab, when it is that he was king over Israel. He was a wicked king. It was an evil time when wickedness was done, and the people were harmed by that, and when he changed the morality in the land by what he brought in on the worship of Baal. And so the people were distressed, and the people, it was like they weren't really serving God the way that God desired them to. So in 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. You know, it should have been said, well, you know, the Lord is God. We're going to follow him. But they couldn't give an answer. They didn't know. It's like they didn't know what truth was. They were faltering. They were, as one translation, they were halting. Another one saying it's limping. And I thought about it, so you're just kind of limping through when it is that you're not sure what the truth is. And that's the way these people swore, you know, that's maybe somewhat half-hearted toward God, not sure. And I don't know how what it was, you know, maybe, you know, they were afraid of these 450 prophets of Baal, perhaps, and what it is telling me, if you don't serve Baal, you know, then you're not, your crops are not going to grow, and your herds are not going to increase. I don't know. But there was fear, evidently, and they just weren't sure. And Elijah, how long are you going to go on like this? And when we look at the times that we're in, people, you know, it used to be when it is that you could trust people. Because of my age, I can see as far as how the time has changed. When people used to be more honest than they are now, and if you got a bill, you didn't have to be concerned about, you know, they're overcharging you, because people weren't like that. Businesses now, you got to be careful. I've got a prescription with my chiropractor who I pay a certain amount, and then I look at my bill and they've been charging me $10 more than what we agreed to. I go, why? Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe it was an error, but I got to go talk to them and see. You know, maybe they just want to get more money from me. It's a time of force when people are not concerned about life the way that people once was. People are not concerned about truth. And they're taking a lie and trying to turn that into the truth. And so we can't falter between that and what is truth. We got to know what the truth is, and we got to stand on it. And so here it is, as far as it was between Baal and them. And I actually think some of these people that today, they must be worshiping Baal or somewhat, because of what they're trying to bring about. They try to scare you. They try to frighten you. They tell you lies. They cheat you. And so we've got, who are we going to put our trust in? Who has the truth? Our God. And so how long we falter between two opinions, between the Lord, our God, politicians, lawyers, doctors, bankers, and whoever else, as far as it, that are out there that are with their falsehood. We don't want to be deceived, and we won't be when our trust is not in any of those things, but our trust is in the Lord our God. These people were living not quite sure because they weren't living according to the power of God. There was no power of God in their life. And so God had to wake them up. And when it is, as far as he gave the prophets of Baal to come up and to show their power and their strength, and the people realized they had none. But then God showed his power. When it is, as far as that he caused the fire to come down and consume the sacrifice and the water that was in the ditch. And he shook this people to their core. And then they were able to say, the Lord is the God. The Lord is the God. Then they gained confidence. Then they were able to live in victory. When we know who it is that we are to serve, when we know who it is that we are to obey, when we know who it is that has our best interest at heart, it's our God. We won't go limping, wondering if this is true or is that true. Our God is true. And we're able then to live in victory, having our knowledge. Another account, Isaiah in chapter 59, where the people had become corrupt. And when the people become corrupt, what happens? God begins to judge them. And so we live in a time when it is that we might be seeing where it is that God is beginning to judge people because of the corruption. And we may be in a part of that, but we know that we have God's protection. When our trust and our faith is in him, we don't have to be so concerned about what's happening here and what's happening there and what's going on. We stand on the pillar and ground of truth. Because when God decides to judge, he's gonna bring it forth. In Isaiah chapter 59, because I think our time is somewhat like what it is that we see here. Verse 13 to 15, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, and truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Several years ago, there was a decision by a court that, well, you got to take those Ten Commandments out of schools because they might obey them. And it's like there's people that work to clear our society of God, but they can't. Why? Because we are here and being a part of this society. And so when they take something away, you know, we still have our voice. We're able to speak. And, you know, I get sometimes at work, you know, as people come and say, I don't know who you voted for, but this guy, he's no good. And I said, well, I know one who is good. And then others may come and say, you know, well, this last guy we had before, he was a real good guy. I know somebody who's a whole lot better. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because if we begin to think as far as, well, this one is going to save us or that one, no. The Lord is our Savior. If we begin to think as far as, hey, our Savior is this or that, you know, this doctor is my Savior. Whatever they say, that's what I'm going to do. And we might just be limping along and faltering. God is our Savior. And God will direct us to those as far as that can help us. But they're not our Saviors. Because they are divided amongst themselves, you know, with their different policies and, you know, and these laws and these other laws that these want to bring in, and these ones who say follow the science, and then you got others saying that's not the science, and then they get canceled and cut off, and they get put out of the platform. We don't want to hear anything you have to say about it. But they can't cancel our God. He's the truth. And he's established this church that we're part of, that's the pillar and the ground of truth. He is our Savior, no matter what happens and what it is as far as we may have to suffer. So many rumors of this happening and that happened. This is coming and that's coming. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is coming. If not now, he's coming. That's what we can, that's the truth we can know for sure. All these other things can be changed. They may or they may not. But our trust is going to be in the Lord our God. And that's where we have the victory. So it's in the truth, it's in the wisdom of our God that he gives us in Proverbs in chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Then wisdom enters your heart. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. We'll be delivered from that as we seek the wisdom of God, when it is as far as it, God gives us insight to how it is that we are to live, what it is that we are to do, what we are to believe. He'll keep us from believing falsehood if we follow him. If we seek it as hidden treasure, he'll give us the knowledge of what's good and right. He will help us discern truth from error. When we put our trust in him, and when it is our ears turned to those who love him and who adhere to the words of the knowledge of this book, and when it is that we see those that they're not doing that, be careful. Be careful. Because they will lie to you. We have protection in the wisdom of God. You know, Job, when he was in his distress, he lost his family. All his sons and daughters were killed, and then his wife turned from him. He lost all his possessions. And then he was being told by his friends that, you know, you are such a terrible sinner. In Job in 23, and Job was seeking God because he understood as far as that if he could just make his case before God, he could get justice. But sometimes it's difficult to find. He's difficult to find. You know, what Job was going through as far as he saw them in the front, he saw them behind. He couldn't see what he was doing on the left or the right. But Job was determined that when I go through this, I'm going to come forth as gold. Job suffered what he was going through, but he wasn't afraid of what he was going through, because he knew he was coming through it and he was going to come out better than when it is he went through it. when we're seeking God and His truth, goodness always comes. What's better always comes to us. Jeremiah 29 and 13, he tells us, let me go there and read it. For you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. All our hearts. I mean, we put all of ourselves, not having anything within us as far as where it is that we're not actually being true to ourselves or to God, but with all our hearts. God, if there's anything in us as far as that is not right, God will reveal that to us. He will show us. And we can take care of that, and then we can live in God fully and have Him to give us full understanding, give us insight, give us a wisdom, give us a knowledge and understanding that we need to live in this life from day to day. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, he says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." You know, now is that time. Without delay, as far as to seek the Lord our God. If we find in ourselves that we're not really fully true to God, there's maybe things in our life as far as that we would like to make more true or more right in God, or be more honest and honorable. God will help us with that. All we have to acknowledge and seek Him with all our heart, you know, so that we can make those changes. Is there anyone here who has not given themselves over to living this life of Christianity? Anyone here who's not a Christian and who needs to obey the gospel? Anyone here who has realized that they failed, realized that they need the prayers of the church? After we sing this closing song, you can come forward. You can come forward and you can be prayed for. If you need to acknowledge any public transgressions that you've made, and you know, maybe it's been hidden, but you want to acknowledge it. You have the love of the brethren here. You have the love of God. Just come forward and to make the acknowledgement. And let us always be those that, no matter what it is that we're doing, we're seeking truth. We're seeking to live the truth and to be whole in the Lord Jesus Christ.